It's been almost 10 years since the Kyoto Protocol was adopted. In an effort to assess what progress has been made, delegates from around the world will be meeting this week in Montreal at the UN Conference on Climate Change. While the conference will focus on federal government's climate change programs, the David Suzuki Foundation has released a report on the need for action at the level of Canada's provincial and territorial governments. Dale Marshall is the climate change policy analyst at the David Suzuki Foundation. He's the author of All Over the Map, a comparison of provincial climate change plans. And he's joined me by phone this morning. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Jane.
Now, it was the federal government that signed on to the Kyoto Protocol, but your report focuses on provincial governments' climate change plans. Why is it so important to focus on the commitments that have been made at the provincial level?
Well, we have to focus on both, and the reason is, as you said, that the federal government's responsible for signing international agreements like the Kyoto Protocol and for implementing them, but the provinces have a lot of jurisdiction in areas that are that have an impact on our greenhouse gas emissions and our climate change plans. For example, the provinces are responsible for natural resource management, like oil and gas sector. The provinces are responsible for the electricity sector. The provinces are also responsible for putting into place building codes that can make our buildings more efficient and reduce the amount of energy that we need and the amount of greenhouse gas emissions that come from them. So the fact that there's not that much so far, hasn't been a lot of cooperation between the federal government and the provincial government, it's really worrisome because we need both of them to be engaged with one another and to be acting cooperatively to address climate change by reducing emissions.
So why does most of the attention then focus on the federal government?
Well, the reason is because they're the ones who in the end are responsible for the implementation of the climate change plan. They're the ones who go into international negotiations like the one that's coming up in Montreal and pledge on behalf of the country what we are going to do in terms of climate change action, how we're going to cooperate with other countries. It's the federal government also has a lot of jurisdiction in other areas that have to do with greenhouse gas emissions. For example, they can regulate vehicle emissions from cars and trucks. They're also responsible for the Large Final Emitters program, which is a program that targets a lot of Canada's industries and manufacturing sector. So there's some jurisdiction that's at the federal level and some jurisdiction that's at the provincial level, which is why they both have to be engaged on the issue and in discussion with each other and acting cooperatively.
How willing have the provincial and territorial governments been to take responsibility for climate change?
Well, some have been quite proactive, but generally the record is poor at the provincial level. There are fewer than half the provinces actually have active climate change plans. Fewer than half the territories have, only one territory has an active climate change plan. If you don't even have a plan to address what is a very serious problem, then it's obvious you're not taking a whole lot of leadership on this. But even the ones, the provinces who do have plans, like, for example, British Columbia, many of them don't have actual targets for reducing their emissions, which is a huge problem. The number one way to address climate change is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and if that's not part of your climate change plan, then it's not much of a plan.
So what criteria have you used to evaluate the provincial and territorial climate change plans? I mean, obviously that's just one of them that you just mentioned, but what other criteria have you come up with?
I looked at different criteria like whether they have a climate change plan, whether they've reduced their emissions, whether they have a target to reduce their emissions, and then looked at individual sectors, like have they addressed emissions from transportation, which is a very big segment of the emissions that come from just about every province. Have they looked at policies to address emissions from the electricity sector? What about buildings? What about government operations? So basically looked at 12 different criteria to see to what extent the provinces have really engaged on this issue.
Have any of the provinces across the country been particularly successful at addressing climate change?
Well, To be honest, the answer, unfortunately, is no. Based on the criteria, I evaluated Manitoba's plan as being the best plan. And one of the big reasons is it actually sets a target that's comparable to the federal government's Kyoto target. And it has put into place a bunch of policies in different sectors. But its emissions are up since 1990. Now, it plans to reduce those emissions by 2010. But all of the, across the country, emissions are up in every single jurisdiction except for the Yukon, which is kind of a specific case where they shut down a mine at some point that had huge emissions. That's why their emissions have gone down. But there are, to be fair, though, there are governments like the Manitoba government that has put into place a fairly strong plan, and there are other provinces that have no plan, and there are some many provinces that have, a few provinces that have plans that are, I would say, weak and vague and don't really amount to very much.
How is BC doing in that? Do we have a plan here?
We do, and I would put BC in that last category. It has a plan. It doesn't have any emission reduction targets, and it frankly has a very weak plan that doesn't include a lot of the kinds of policies that we would like to see. Most of its policies would increase emissions. It talks about, for example, improving road infrastructure. What we didn't know when it released the plan was that meant the twinning of Highway 1 out to out into the suburbs.
This is part of the plan to reduce emissions under the Kyoto Accord.
This is strategic infrastructure improvements is how they put it in the plan, and it came out a few months later that what that meant was the twinning of the Portman Bridge and the Highway 1. So then obviously that will only increase emissions. Part of its plan is also talks about continued production of fossil fuels, oil and natural gas. Again, something that will increase emissions, not decrease emissions. So overall, the plan, I'd say, is quite disappointing. The one area that I sort of had applauded in the past when I looked at BC's overall energy plan, and it was also included in its climate change plan, was a promise to improve the Energy Efficiency Act, to upgrade the standards for a lot of equipment and appliances so that those would become more efficient and have to use less energy and have lower emissions. But what's happened since then is they've actually updated the Energy Efficiency Act, and none of the new standards are mandatory. They're all voluntary, which is hugely disappointing. Both in BC and elsewhere, there have been all kinds of voluntary initiatives that have gone nowhere. And so we were advocating, a more aggressive approach that includes regulations. That's really the only way that we can see emissions actually going down.
Is there anything in the BC plan about alternative forms of energy? Because here in Vancouver, you do hear there's little individual projects happening here and there around alternative forms of energy. But is it in the provincial plan?
They have some discussion about especially alternative electricity sources, and the province has a plan to have 50% of its electricity come from what it's called BC Clean Electricity, and part of that will be things that are truly renewable, like micro hydro projects and like wind projects. But much, unfortunately, what is included in clean electricity is, for example, cogeneration, so the use of fossil fuels, natural gas and coal to produce electricity. It also includes the burning of municipal solid waste, which has really important impacts on toxics, for example. So, there are things that can be given sort of a lukewarm response. We would like to see that target. In fact, BC Hydro's own records show that BC could use only renewable energy to add to its electricity mix, and we would have enough electricity for the next 20 years. That's the kind of target we would like to see, 100% renewable electricity that gets added over the next two decades.
Now, the federal government's plan focuses on reducing greenhouse gas emissions between the years 2008 and 2012. Do any levels of government in Canada have plans for what would happen after 2012?
No.
No. So it just all ends in 2012?
That's the problem. That's a huge problem. And it's mostly problematic, I would say, at the federal level, because we're going into a climate change conference in Montreal next week. And at that meeting, Canada is going to be chairing the meeting, and we are going to be discussing, negotiating over what is going to happen after the first phase of Kyoto ends in 2012. And Canada has no policies beyond 2012. It has no targets for greenhouse gas emissions after that date. So our negotiators are essentially walking into that, as far as we know. I mean, it could be that they have a secret plan that they haven't revealed to us. But as far as we know, the negotiators are going into that plan completely blind. They're negotiating more about what they can get as opposed to what is really needed to stabilize the climate. And what is needed are deep emission reductions after 2012, and we're hoping that comes out of it. But without the kind of leadership that the federal government should be taking to tell our negotiators, here's what we need, here's what we want to see, and because this is what's needed, it's hard to be optimistic.
So is this a lack of political will, or is it like turf wars between the different levels of governments? Like, why is it so hopeless?
Well, there has been a certain amount of turf wars going on, and there are provinces that have pushed back on the feds, and particularly the oil and gas rich jurisdictions. Alberta and Saskatchewan have both really gone into negotiations very hard nosed. Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, Labrador, and even BC have pushed back at the federal government quite a bit. But in terms of setting the long-term targets and in terms of implementing the full Kyoto plan, that really does rest at the federal level, and we haven't seen the kind of leadership that would be required. We haven't seen goal setting for the long term, which is really what is needed if we're going to address climate change.
Well, it was nice talking to you again this morning, Dale. Thanks for taking our call.
No problem. It was good talking to you, Jane.
I've been speaking with Dale Marshall. He's climate change policy analyst at the David Suzuki Foundation. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.